We now return to Eric Damery demonstrating Jaws 5 from CSUN 2004. We ask listeners to bear with us, as some of the sounds Eric refers to are not actually audible in our recording.
Everyone familiar with the basics dialogue in Jaws? You have tuner messages and a few radio buttons, you have access keys and four radio buttons, then a few check boxes for automatically start Jaws, all the things that if you use a screen reader all the time and you install it enough, you're in here usually. So listen to how mine behaves.
Access key off, 1-4.
What's different from the way you normally used to hear it? I'll do it again. I'll go backwards.
Thunder messages turn off manually. Control Delta 1-3.
It's a radio button, but it didn't tell you it was a radio button. How did you know it was a radio button, Myrna?
To tell you the truth, because I've been through that dialogue. And it said 1-3.
Oh, because it said 1-3. Very good.
1-3. And also, well, your little sound was...
My little sound did something, too. Let's keep going.
Access key automatically starts off.
Listen to this one.
Run Jaws from system 3.
What that one?
Oh, so that one's checked and one's not checked.
Right. Which one was checked?
The automatically start Jaws.
The single syllable, the single, right? Checked or unchecked. Two knocks. I do a single knock for checked and a double knock for unchecked. And I get them at the same time. So it doesn't have to tell me it's a checkbox. I can tell it's a checkbox or a radio button by the fact that I'm hearing my door knock sounds that I put in. And I know if it's radio buttons because it's 1-3 or 1-4. If it doesn't say that, I know it's not a radio button. Question?
I put it in a scheme
I selected. We provide the speech and sounds manager. It's a new utility. It's a tool that you can use to change your screen reader. Screen reader is just a tool, folks. You go in and you modify your tool to meet the needs of how you're trying to use your computer. So I customized my Jaws a little bit to a very simple interface and created a scheme. Let's keep going.
Show virtual in the keyboard layout colon desktop 205.
Combo box, I used the ascend sound. And when I was in a list box, I used a descend sound because a list box, to me, a list box stays open and a combo is like a shade. It can go up and down. So I just threw ascend. You know, but sounds aren't. It's whatever you remember. And once I put them in and started playing with them, I remembered them and I just get used to it. Let's hear the buttons here.
Okay. Cancel.
Like a little pen clicking. We provide all these sounds. The developers went home. I sent everybody home and said, hey, just go record everything you can find. That's why you got door knocks and car doors and locks. We didn't want to pirate people's sounds, so we went and created a bunch. But you can add yours in. You can take the Windows system sounds. You can make your own sounds and put them in there. I tried to make short sounds because I didn't want big distractions. But we actually have piano tones into piano keys. And you can assign these sounds to dictionary rules now, too. So if you had some long phrase, and instead of hearing Jaws say something, you'd just rather have it make some noise, you can do that. You can assign a sound to a word as part of the dictionary manager. So this is going down a new road, and I'm telling you that in a couple of years, when you come to CSUN, there'll be presentations that people are going to give based on the studies that they're doing on how people can interact with computers using different types of sounds, and they'll be passing these schemes around. So this is new. It's in there. It's been in since 5.0. Not a lot of people are using it yet, but it is very powerful, and it is going to be the thing of the future to come along. I think we'll see a lot more use. Now, where it's really valuable,
Jaws,
is in proofreading.
Page 1, St. Petersburg, 1.5.
Okay, now, I've brought it up. I don't think I have any special schemes for this. It's an edit field. We heard it made a little click noise when it loaded it up. I'm just going to read it. Let's just listen to it for a second.
History of St. Petersburg, Florida. St. Petersburg was explored by the Spanish adventurer Juan Ponce de Leon. De Leon arrived here in 1521 while searching for the Fountain of Youth. He was followed by explorers Santiago de Martin in 1528, Fernando de Soto in 1539. Founding the city. The city was later explored.
There is going to be a quiz at the end. Make sure you remember this stuff. Now, the content of the document doesn't really, that isn't what I'm trying to get across. But for those of you who are looking at the screen, volunteer some information. What do you know about this document that the people that are not seeing the screen didn't know? There's hypertext links in there. Some of these words are hypertext links that if you clicked on it would take you to some web page and you could learn more information about whatever the hyperlink was. In this case, it was Juan Ponce de Leon, Hernando de Soto, and one of the other guys you haven't heard about yet in the document. They're links, so you can learn more information about them. What else? There's headings. How do you know? It's bolded. It's bigger text, and it's kind of, you know, breaks up the document a little bit. And while we heard the headings being read, we couldn't really tell they were headings unless we paid very close attention to the document. What else? There's some italicized text in there. That's probably important information too, right? It was the names, General John Williams and Thilo DiNardo. They weren't links, but they were italicized, and the italicized text change attributes so that it gets your attention, so that you see it and remember it. That's why we do it, okay? So the screen reader really ought to be able to indicate something to the user that there's unique things going on. Or maybe you're proofreading your document and you want to make sure that you've got the things in there that you intended to put in there that you, when you were creating the document, okay? Now, JAWS for Windows, for some time now, has had the ability to read this information and identify that there are things changing when you're proofreading your document. Does anyone use that now? So it tells you the attributes and things going on. I'm going to the styles and attributes. I'm going to do that first. And if you think you've heard something annoying before, you haven't heard anything. But if you proofread documents and you need to know this information, it's fantastic.
Select the scheme dialog. Left left there, modify right there, final 20.
So we have 20 schemes. Or we have about 18 because I've created two of my own in here. These schemes that you can switch to and have JAWS behave differently when it's reading through a document. And I'm going to go to the classic, which is we ship with the classic settings because if I put in these new schemes and ship the product, everyone would send it back and say, give my money back. This thing makes crazy noises and it's talking weird and this isn't what I'm used to. So we keep the classics there and put the new stuff in they can switch to. Okay.
Screen.
Now, I'm going to do a say all and listen to JAWS tell us about the attributes and try and follow the contents.
Bold history of St. Petersburg, Florida. Normal St. Petersburg was explored by the Spanish adventurer underlying Juan Ponce de Leon. Normal. De Leon arrived here in 1521 while searching for the mountain community. He was followed by explorers, Italic, and Simo de Vargas. Normal in 1528, underlying Fernando de Soto. Normal.
The painful look on some of your faces. Trying to listen to that stuff is tough. You really got to pay attention. And basically, you completely lose track of what the heck is it talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so what if we could tell through the Speech and Sounds Manager the thing to say, hey, if there's bolded text, use a different voice. Speak it in Harry's voice, be a little deeper. And how about if it's italicized, slow down and read it slower for me. So I'll know because it's probably important. And if it's a blue on white text, it must be a hyperlink. When you're reading that, make a little sound go off so I'll know there was a hyperlink there. So if these things are going on, then all you're hearing JAWS really read is the content instead of saying all these other words in there, but you're still getting information about what's going on. Okay? So let's switch to my scheme and try it.
Select the scheme dialog, list box, classic left there, attributes right there, and three of them, key, move reading left there, attributes and pop in, key, move reading left, enter, switch the scheme.
Okay.
Top.
Here we go.
History of St. Petersburg, Florida. St. Petersburg was explored by the Spanish adventurer Juan Ponce de Leon. De Leon arrived here in 1521 while searching for the mountain of youth. He was followed by explorers and heroes and darkness in 1528 from Fernando de Soto in 1539.
Fountain the city.
The city was later explored by pioneers in the 1800s, including General John Williams. General Williams bought 1700 acres near 1875. Hamilton visited also Stark. Same.
Okay, got the idea? So it isn't saying any extra verbiage. It doesn't have to say bold and normal and underline and all of that. It just reads the text and uses other indicators to help me understand the attributes and information about the text. That makes sense? So this is the Speech and Sounds Manager. You can get it to set up changes in how controls and JAWS behave through different sounds or voices being used for those things, and you can use it for proofreading to tell you about indentation and all this other stuff. Great feature. For proofreaders, and I've talked to quite a few people that have been out there
really starting to experiment and utilize this. The feedback has been outstanding. They really like it. Great feature. Questions? Yes?
How do you know how long the link is?
How do you know how long the link is? You don't. In this case, I don't. I know there was a link there. I know it occurred at the time that voice was, at the time that it was reading the word, I heard the sound at the same time. So you don't really know, but I can get there and do a control enter on that word, or I can go back and check it. The main thing is knowing that there was one. That's more important. Yes?
As well as changing sounds, did you say that you can change the pitch to what you want?
Yes, you can change the voice pitch. You can slow it down, speed it up.
Yeah, other than just word anywhere.
Yes. Yes, this will work in on the internet. Instead of hearing heading level 3, you can get Harry to speak at deeper pitches depending on how low the heading is. Instead of saying link, it can make a sound or it can switch the voice when it reads those links. When you're entering into a list, it can make a sound that attended the list instead of having to say a list of 10 items or something like that, okay? Okay, I got 30 minutes left to cover place markers. It'll take that much time. This, to me, is a huge breakthrough. We're not done with it yet, but what we've done so far, I think, will make a lot of sense. When you run a screen reader and you go into what is the screen reader really doing? It's reading the information off the screen to us, right? That's what we think. It isn't. It's interpreting what's on the screen, and it's communicating that information to us. And because a text-to-speech engine can read the screen, sometimes. A screen reader has to interpret. When we go into the spell checker, what do we hear?
Not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough.
What screen reader are you using? We hear plenty when we go to the spell checker, right? For those of us who are using the spell checker and using JAWS, we hear plenty.
Oh, yeah.
Not in dictionary. The misspelled word.
Yep.
And then it says it and it spells it for you. And if there's a suggestion, it says it and it spells that. That's what a sighted person gets when they go to a spell checker. They get to see what was misspelled and they get to see a suggestion. And not only when you're using JAWS, not only does it spell it, but what does it do now with 5.0? Yeah, it slows the speech rate down while it's spelling it so you can follow it. I run my computer at about 90 in eloquence. I bump it up to about 90. But when it's spelling something, I can't remember it. So that spell decrement, when it's spelling, slow my speech rate down by this percentage is a great feature, and that works out nice in the spell checker. That was a suggestion that came from a guy in Switzerland. He didn't speak real good English, and he needed it to slow down a little bit, but it was a great idea. But does the screen reader do that automatically? The programmers of the screen reader, the people that make the products, have to spend countless hours not only programming, but first of all, they have to figure out what should we be doing here. They have to figure out what is important. It evolves over time, and you get better at doing it. When the next version of Microsoft Office comes out, guess what we have to then go do?
Go through it all.
We have to go fix it again. So it says it exactly the same way, because that's the way everybody's used to hearing it. They expect it to be that way. So... But that's the behavior that everybody's expecting out of the box. Now, when you go into a Microsoft spreadsheet and you start moving around, why doesn't it automatically read you the column headings? Or the row headings? Or tell you when you left one region in a spreadsheet and moved to a second region? Or when you go to a web page, why doesn't it just grab all the important information on the web page that the sighted person sees instantly and tell you that information? It's different. Every web page you go to, every spreadsheet you go to, it's always different. Spell checkers don't change. We know what's going to happen every time you hit F7, the spell checker comes up. But we don't know what's going to happen when you land on a particular web page, whether you're just browsing the internet or you're doing a job at work. So we need tools to be able to make this happen, and tools in your hands, not our hands. Because if the developer could sit beside you and you go to the web page, the developer could first of all try and figure out what's important for you and then start programming the screen reader so every time you come back, you'd hear the right information. That'd be great, but you couldn't afford that product. So we have to give you tools to do that, and that's what Place Markers is all about, trying to give you a tool so that you can customize your screen reader so you can get the right information at the right time in the order that you want it. Okay, so that's what we're going to experiment with.
Submit to Internet Explorer.
I don't have a net up here, so don't try this at home.
Accessory. Menu. Start button. About cold wing. Control O. Sub. Here. Here. Oh, enter.
I'll catch you up in a second.
Navigation. SSN or customer ID. Content. SSN or customer ID. Press enter for forms both.
Okay. I've gone to the Internet Explorer and I typed in an address, www.fidelity.com. So in 5.0 release, when JAWS would come up, if there was a cursor where you were supposed to enter something, like when you go to google.com, there's a little flashing cursor that's on the screen automatically for you, so that the sighted person doesn't have to waste all their time and energy grabbing the mouse and going up and clicking in the edit field. They know that's what you're trying to do. So in 5.0, if JAWS sees a cursor, it doesn't start reading the web page for you because it assumes that's where you're supposed to be. So it goes there, reads the prompt, and tells you to press enter performance mode, which is what it did. Great little feature. Now, I don't want to enter my social security number here for you, but I'm going to use one of the tools on this website to demonstrate place markers.
So
I'm hitting the letter F to move to the different input fields, and you're hearing all my bells and whistles going on.
Login.
That's a button.
Search text. Quote text.
Those are edit fields. And there's one called quote text.
Enter. Forms mode on. Quote text.
And when I press enter to go to forms mode, now you can see the cursor, right? So, anyone use this website? Anyone use Fidelity? What are you supposed to do here?
G-E.
Type in your stock symbol, right?
Enter. Forms mode off. New browser window. Fidelity Investments. Microsoft Internet Explorer. That symbol G-E.
And another window opens up, and it's got some information in this window, and there's still a cursor where the GE, the blue GE, that those of you looking at the screen, that's where the focus is. That's why I didn't read the page. So it's waiting for me to press enter, go to forms mode, type in the next symbol. And who can tell me what the stock value is for GE today? 30. Exactly, 30. The reason, and I'll go through this a little bit with the screen reader, but what I want to make sure that you understand, those of you looking at the screen, did you read everything? No, you didn't. This is what's important. What's the value? Is it up? Is it down? That's what we care about. I find out that information, I go to the next one.
Enter, forms go up, D, enter, forms go up, symbol H.
Home Depot is at 3650. I didn't have to read the whole screen to get that. That's all I'm getting is important information here. Now, is anyone using an HTML-based application in a job environment or a school environment where you might input some information and get some other information back? Jeff is. And maybe you find out what the person's number is or account number or something like that. It shows up based on some information that you input and something else comes back. And there's a whole bunch of information that you've got to get through. Now, in the past, with a screen reader, it was really hard to get to this information, but you could do it. Well, I know that this information is in a particular location. It's on line 33.
Jump to line 5 off. Enter line number left there, 1 to 65, line there, colon, edit, 7, 3, 3, enter, 36.5000.
So there's a feature in JAWS that says you can jump to a particular line in the virtual buffer. And if you don't know what the virtual buffer is, come to the next class. I don't want to go over that. It's really confusing. I'm right here. I'm on that piece of information, 3650. That's an important piece of information, and every time I'm in this window, I would like to know about that information. So I'm going to put a mark right here so that JAWS will remember the next time.
Place marker list dialog. Place marker, 0 items.
And I'm going to add a place marker. There are none on this website.
Enter, add place marker dialog, name colon, 36.5000 left rack.
That's not a very good name for this particular location, but price might be.
P-R-I-E, enter, 36.5000 left.
Okay, so let's go back.
Go. Symbol A-P, enter, forms mode on.
Anybody got a symbol they want to know about?
M-S-F-T, enter, forms mode off, symbol M-S-F-T, symbol M-S-F-T.
I did Microsoft. I'm going to hit the letter K now to move to my place marker.
25.1300 left bracket, attached right bracket.
So, beautiful. I did not have to arrow down to go and find that information. What about the percentage change?
It happens to be very close, or the change and the percent change happen to be very close, but they could be far away. That information is important, too. So let me set up a place marker for both of those.
Change, -0.0500. Place marker list dialog. Place marker not selected price 1-1. Enter at place marker dialog. Name colon, -0.CHANGE. Enter, -0.0.
And I'm going to move down to the percentage change, and I'll call that percent change.
Percent change, -0.
And I'll set a place marker right at that spot.
Place marker list dialog. Place marker. Enter at place marker. P-E-R-S-N-T-E. Enter, -0.20%.
Okay, now, I'm going to go back up and type in another symbol, and then we'll see how those three work.
Code, running the top, symbol, MSFT, enter, forms, vote.
Anybody know a symbol?
I-N-C-O-M.
U-C-O-M?
Q.
Q. I haven't typed that character in a while.
Q-C-O-M, enter, forms, vote off, symbol, U-C-O-M.
Qualcomm, I should remember.
64.7200, left bracket, attached, right bracket.
That was the letter K. Now K again.
0.5900.
And K again.
0.92%.
So that's what's really important. There may be some other stuff up there that matters. But really, on this screen, that's what's important. Now, isn't that great?
One question.
Yes?
The place marker.
We're not done yet, so don't leave.
No, go ahead. You said you get K three times for each one of those?
Yes.
Do you have a set of place marker letters that you can use to identify different areas?
No. Each place marker, the K is the quick navigation key to move from place marker to place marker.
Okay.
I like the way you think of it.
Yeah.
We're heading in that direction. Not today. Yes.
Are these settings kept in like a user profile such that
Good question. If I shut off my computer and start it back, if I crashed right now, which it isn't going to happen, but if I crashed right now and I came back in, would I have to go and teach it? No. These are stored under settings, ENU, under a folder called place markers. And they're stored based on this particular web page. So those place markers will be there the next time I come back to this URL address.
Now, if you upgrade, does it keep them?
If you use the merge utility, which I turned off in 5. No, they'll still be in the folder and you can pass them to someone else. That's what's nice. You can copy the folder and save it. You can copy the folder and send it to somebody and say, hey, I figured out how to use this web page. Just go there, hit the letter K. You can write up a little text file that explains this to them and pass it around. Yes?
Can you get it to tell you which place marker you're on and it's just K?
Not yet. Another good idea, right? Now, you haven't done the obvious. You haven't asked the obvious question. Can you automate it? Why do I have to push the letter K? That's what matters. When I get on this web page, you tell me. Good question. Yes, we can. That's what I'm going to show you. Can you adjust these things? Can you remove them? Can you rename them? What if it's in the wrong spot? Can you move it somewhere? Yes, the user interface, when you do the Control-Shift-K, there's buttons to do all of those things, to rename, remove, and you can go in and move it around. Now, I'll tell you right now, you don't want to go home and bring up your favorite newspaper and go to the home page and start dropping place markers on it. Because the home page is going to change about 10 minutes later. And the place markers probably ain't going to be in the right place anyways. Where this is really valuable is in a business or a school environment where there is some fixed pages that don't change a lot. Laura, you and I have talked about this earlier. I got to believe that in the university environment, you're doing some HTML things where you can set these place markers up for students ahead of time. And it can give them the right information when they need to get it. So let's keep going a little further here, because the real question is, why do you have to press the letter K? So in JAWS for Windows, you can write scripts and you can write configuration files and frame files and dictionary files that will automatically load up whenever you go to that application. Well, what application am I running? IE. But I need JAWS to behave differently depending on the web page I'm on, not the application I'm in this case. So personalized web settings are ways of teaching JAWS, hey, this HTML author had a whole bunch of graphics that were done differently. Or, what was it? Access World's about to post an evaluation that they've done on JAWS 5.0, and one of the things they found was that if they went to this FCC website in Washington, D.C.,
eloquent switch to the British English. Because whoever created their website that they contracted in the UK put the ENG tag on the website instead of the ENU. And so they wanted to be able to modify how JAWS would behave there. So while they were on that web page, all you got to do is go into this personalized verbosity or personalized web settings and turn language detection off. So the next time they come back to that website, it'll ignore the language tab. But it'll still work if they go to a Spanish site. Or maybe they don't want to hear all these graphics being spoken. They can tell it how to handle graphics on this website, but don't break it for everywhere else. Okay, so it's a way of controlling and setting up JAWS based on a particular location. And on this web page, I want to be able to remember a few things. Whenever you come in here, if there are place markers, just read them. And if I land on this web page in the future, don't make me go into forms mode. That's what I'm trying to do every time I get here anyway. So if forms mode was on when I came, leave it on. So I can just start typing symbols and hearing the values. So watch how we do this.
Personalized settings for masculinefidelity.com dialog. Personalized settings at all readers, 1 of 33.
So if you mess these up, by the way, you can all clear them. Just take them all out.
See custom page summary at all. Custom page summary, match the custom summary.
Okay, and I'm going to do the forms mode while I'm here.
Edit forms mode using virtual labels, match off. Edit forms mode auto off, match enable.
Auto off, enable. Every time the web page gets updated, JAWS automatically turns forms mode off by default for you. In this case, on this page, I don't want to do that. If it's on, leave it on.
Forms mode auto off, match disable. Enter, QZON.
Okay, now.
Go, close, bracket the top, symbol, QZON. Enter, form mode on.
What's a good one? Who's got a symbol they want to know about?
Walmart.
WFT, enter. Symbol WFT, personalized settings for this size. Price 58.3500, left bracket, patch right bracket. Change 0.5100%, change 0.88%. WFT.
Okay, let's take a look at GE again.
GE, enter, symbol, GE, price, 30.7600, left bracket, plus right bracket, change, 0.2600%, change, 0.85%, GE.
So now, I'm using it with the screen reader, basically the way I would use it if I'm looking at the screen. I'm typing in the symbol, pressing enter, and I'm getting the information I wanted to get. I told the custom page summary, I said, if I've set up a custom page summary, if there are place markers in here, speak them. That's what the custom page summary is for. Okay? Yes?
Eric, where does it leave the focus?
Where does it leave the focus? Who can tell us?
In the edit box.
In the edit box.
Yeah.
Because forms mode is staying on.
Because forms mode's on.
Can you still move to the place markers? Yes. But you have to get out of forms mode to move to the place markers because the K doesn't work. So you'd have to leave forms mode, hit K to get there. Now.
How does it associate the website?
The programmers are really good, and they've figured out how to do this somehow. I'm not a developer, so I'm not quite good. It saves it based on the URL. Correct. If I take my place markers folder and my personalized web settings folder right now, I zip them and send them to you, and you go home, install JAWS, and put those folders in, overwrite yours, and go to this website, it'll just work. Question?
Yes, you mentioned that if you send your settings to somebody and they install them, it would overwrite their settings. Supposing I'm a webmaster, I want to set up some settings that I think would be useful for visitors to my website.
And when they land there with JAWS, it would be nice if JAWS would say, hey, the author of the page has some nice place markers for you. Would you like them?
Exactly, without overriding anything.
Right, it would just send the things back and insert it into their folder, and then boom, it works.
Yeah.
Great idea. Love it. It's not there yet. But you know where we're going.
Have you tried this with some of the different portals?
And you
will. Yes, and PDF and help files. HTML help files and all that stuff. Come on now, there's another question here, Brian. Help them out.
A Braille.
What if they're using a Braille display?
Yeah.
We heard it I couldn't remember that information. Or maybe it's a long number that you're getting. You know, you just looked up someone's name, and now you got to remember their social security number, and JAWS read it to you. That's no good. You got to feel it. You got to get your hands on it.
Custom page summary, match virtual like custom summary.
Virtualize custom summary. We're getting geeky now.
Enter, symbol D.
Okay.
Enter, symbol D. Lynn Price, 30.760, left granted, plus right granted, Lynn change, 0.2600, Lynn percent change, 0.85% presses game to post this message.
Okay, so what happened now with virtualizing this information, we've told JAWS that when I look up a symbol, take the place markers, take the names for the place markers, and turn those into links and put them in the virtual buffer, and then take the information at the place markers and put it right after. So now I can review this with Braille. If I wanted to move to that location on the screen, I could move to the name Price and press Enter. The virtual buffer goes away and it puts me there. Or I could hit Escape and I'd be right back on GE and I could type in the next symbol and go.
Does that show up on the screen?
Yes, the virtual buffer actually displays on the screen and puts the information up there. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is where I think you guys got to experiment a little and find out what works and what doesn't work. Come back and talk to me about it so we can keep looking at how we want to tweak this thing. Just to let you know where we're headed, a couple other things that I'm working on for this. Eventually, right now, the place markers are good for a particular line in the virtual buffer, but we'll start identifying it to an element. Assign this place marker to this element so I can get the entire element. Or we'll give you the ability to tell the place marker, I want you to start here and end there. And then give me my place markers and let me reorder how they're read, because I don't like the way you're reading them. I would rather have this information first and that information here, so reorder my place markers in the way it's delivered to me. And ultimately, I think we'll have the ability to say, when I do this keystroke on this web page, give me these place markers. When I do this keystroke, give me these place markers. And review them. When we grab an HTML page, we put it in a virtual buffer in a single column. So however the author wrote the web page, wherever you put your place markers, you might start at the bottom of the page and put your first one, second one, third one. When we land on the page, you'll get them from whichever one is highest in the virtual buffer. Yes?
Does the cursor follow the place marker? So that the cursor actually drops to the place marker?
The virtual cursor will drop to it, yes. When you hit a K, your virtual cursor is on that line.
Okay.
Good question. We just released a brand new version. It's an update free. Make sure you take one with you. And there are demo JAWS up here. And there's a magic demo that we just got in the room, too. So grab those. Thank you all.